I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Friday, September 17th. School districts across Massachusetts are reporting more than 1,200 student cases of COVID-19 and 190 cases among staff members this week. According to the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, it was the first case report of the new school year. The department said 1,230 student cases represent 0.13% of the estimated 920,000 students enrolled in K-12 schools. And the 190 cases among the 140,000 staff members works out to a similar percentage, 0.14%. Here in Quincy, 4 students and no staff members tested positive this week. An internal investigation is underway after an off-duty state police trooper slammed his car into a house in Quincy earlier this week. Caution tape surrounds the home that sits at the corner of Manet Avenue and Stoughton Street. The gate was torn down and both the stairs and siding were destroyed when the trooper barreled into the home last week. Quincy police say the trooper first crashed into a guardrail at around 1:30 a.m. on Labor Day and lost a tire. He made it a mile further down the road on just 3 wheels. Police say he also hit a parked car. The trooper was taken to a hospital after the crash. Quincy police say they are looking into the incident. And state police say they have asked them to share any findings of their internal investigation that relate to the trooper involved. The trooper is said to still be on active duty. So far, no charges have been filed against him. Quincy Ward 2 City Councilor Anthony Andronico wants an update from city officials on how the federal stimulus funds Quincy received earlier this year have been spent so far, and also wants the administration to gather public input to determine how the remaining money should be used. Quincy Mayor Thomas Koch back in March announced Quincy would be getting $46.3 million from the American Rescue Plan Act, a $1.9 trillion federal bill signed into law earlier that month. Communities have until December 2024 to use that money on eligible initiatives. Back in May, the mayor announced the city would be using a portion of the city's money and part of the $10 million earmarked for Quincy College, which was awarded separately from the funds that the city got, to purchase the Monroe Building and a nearby parking lot in Quincy Center for $15 million. Andronico will introduce a resolution seeking a full accounting of the city's spending to date at Monday's City Council meeting, which will be held remotely. The resolution also asks the administration to seek public inputs on how the remaining funds should be spent using either an online survey or public hearings. There were 3 promotions in the Quincy Police Department this week. Sergeant Dwayne Goldman, Sergeant Mark Connolly, and Lieutenant Stephen O'Donohue were all promoted to their current ranks during a ceremony that was held at City Hall. Goldman has 28 years in law enforcement, the last 9 with the Quincy Police Department. He was previously a sergeant on the Randolph Police Department and a Boston College police officer. Connolly has 9 years of service with the Quincy Police, and O'Donohue has 20 years' experience. He had been a sergeant on the Quincy Police since 2013. A Randolph man was arrested at a Hingham clothing store last Friday afternoon after taking unsolicited photographs of a woman's backside. Police arrived at the Kohl's on Derby Street last Friday afternoon in response to a report of a suspicious man following women around. Using the store's security cameras, police said they observed 28-year-old Terrell Anthony Skerritt follow a 45-year-old woman and take several photos of her buttocks. Skerritt snapped pictures as the woman bent over to look at a display and got onto the ground to get a better angle. When approached by police, Skerritt denied taking photos and had no cell phone in his possession. Authorities searched the store, found an abandoned phone, which they are obtaining a warrant to search. A private memorial will be held next week for the family, friends, colleagues, and students and alumni who were impacted by the life of a Boston University professor who tragically died in a fall earlier this month. David Jones fell through a rusted staircase that had been deemed unsafe over a year ago. Jones' death has been felt across the BU campus, where he cared deeply about understanding laws and policy to make people healthier. Jones was an associate professor in the Department of Health Law, Policy, and Management. He was very interested in how to use law and policy to create a healthier world, according to Dr. Sandro Galea, the dean of BU's School of Public Health. Galea said Jones was invested not just in public health policy, but in teaching the next generation. Investigators believe the professor died after falling from a rusted staircase adjacent to the JFK UMass T-stop. A 7-year-old girl is recovering after she was grazed by a bullet on Talbot Avenue in Dorchester yesterday afternoon, and a suspect has been arrested. Surveillance video shows kids with backpacks walking along Talbot Avenue when suddenly they run toward a store for cover. Police arrested a man on foot minutes after the shooting. They're still looking for information from witnesses. Investigators believe the shooting was not random and the child was not targeted. The identity of the suspect has not been released. Governor Baker said he is looking into setting up a COVID vaccine credential system for Massachusetts residents, system better known as a vaccine passport. Baker made the comments during an interview on WGBH radio. He was asked if the state will one day have a vaccination ID program. Governor said he's been speaking with officials in other states that already have vaccine credentialing to allow businesses like restaurants and bars to require vaccines for customers. Back in April, Baker said he was more concerned about getting shots in arms than discussing vaccine passports. Massachusetts will take in 900 refugees from Afghanistan as the Biden administration began notifying states how many evacuees will be moved as part of the first group of the nearly 37,000 arrivals to the U.S. California is projected to take more arrivals than any other, more than 5,200 people. According to the data, Massachusetts will get 900, Rhode Island 150, and New Hampshire 100. Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker's administration is still waiting for more details from the federal government as to where and when the evacuees will arrive. Seventh human case of West Nile virus has been confirmed in Massachusetts. The latest infection was identified in a woman in her 30s who was exposed in Bristol County. Two previous infections identified in Essex and Middlesex counties were reported earlier this week. In addition to the seven human cases, there has been one animal case. As a result of yesterday's announcement, 11 additional communities are now considered at moderate risk for West Nile. Department of Public Health officials say 27 communities in Essex, Middlesex, Norfolk, and Suffolk counties are at high risk. In 2020, there were 5 human cases of West Nile in Massachusetts. The virus is usually transmitted to humans through the bite of an infected mosquito. While the virus can infect people of all ages, people over 50 are at higher risk for severe disease. A former executive at a nearly 140-year-old shoe company in Massachusetts has been sentenced to nearly 6 years in prison for embezzling $30 million from the company and spending it on luxury items and travel for himself and another person. Federal prosecutors say 64-year-old Richard Hajar, former chief financial officer of the Alden Shoe Company, was also sentenced this week to 3 years probation and ordered to pay more than $60 million in restitution and penalties. Hajar of Duxbury embezzled the money from 2011 until he was fired in 2019 by writing checks to himself from company bank accounts and then transferring funds from company accounts to his personal accounts and to another person. He used some of the money to buy jewelry, including a $158,000 diamond ring, a New York City condo, and private flights to the Caribbean. He then failed to report the proceeds of his embezzlement as income on his tax returns. Hajar pleaded guilty in May to wire fraud, unlawful monetary transactions, and filing a false tax return. The Middleborough-based Alden Shoe Company, which makes high-end dress shoes and other footwear, was founded in 1884. Oh, rides, games, live entertainment, and delicious food. Today, the Big E returns to West Springfield for a 17-day run after being postponed last year because of the pandemic. More than 80 bands will perform live during the fair on three separate stages. Also, about 165 vendors will be offering food and beverages of all kinds. Throughout the fair, a mask mandate will be in effect in West Springfield, requiring people to wear face coverings indoors in public areas. In 2019, 1.6 million visitors attended the Big E. Organizers say the large crowds add a big boost to area businesses. A check of business news this morning. Stocks are mixed. The Dow is down 163. The NASDAQ rose 20. The S&P dropped 6. Asian stocks also were mixed. The dollar rose. The euro was higher. Oil at $72 a barrel. Sports: Red Sox are back home tonight against the Orioles at 7 o'clock. Patriots getting ready for their first road game of the season Sunday at 1 o'clock against the Jets. The National Weather Service forecast for today: a scattered shower possible, high 73. Tonight, partly cloudy, low 61. Tomorrow, mix of clouds and sun, maybe a morning shower, high 77. Sunny near 80 on Sunday, sunny mid-70s on Monday. With the boater, waves about a foot, light northeast wind, high tide right after 9 a.m. Sunrise at 6:26, set at 6:49. I'm Joe Catalano with the AM Quincy News Update for Friday, September 17th.